The summer sermon series is titled Critters of the Kingdom, and the critters of the week are the birds of the air. The Bible reading is from Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat?' or 'What will we drink?' or 'What will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." The word of the Lord.
Now may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Our summer sermon series, as noted, continues with Critters of the Kingdom, the animal of the week being the birds of the air, as we talk about God's care for us in the midst of our worries. How many of you out there are worriers? Raise your hand. The rest of you are liars. Goodness gracious. Just kidding. Hey, worry can lead us to stress, right? And stress generally can lead us to anxiety, and anxiety can oftentimes undermine and lead us to questioning our true value, even our true value with God. Our Bible passage today begins with a list of some things that people may generically worry about, especially if you're just on the basic level of needs, what we eat and what will we wear. But those questions alone trigger within us thinking about other items, things that we might get nervous about as well. Possibly our health, maybe job, family. Of course, this tremendous drought that we're in. Do we sell the cattle? Do we not sell the cattle? Conflicts, stress, runaway inflation. But maybe it's grief or issues with raising our children or even parenting our parents. Plenty of things, right? Plenty of things, little and large, that we tend to fret over, and it can lead to eroding our sense of value and worth, even with God. You know, of all the things possibly to consider that might help reduce these concerns, Jesus doesn't recommend diet. He doesn't recommend exercise. He doesn't recommend rest or even prescribe drugs. All of these things, of course, can assist us in easing our worries. But what does Jesus do? Of all things, he points us to observe the birds of the air. He says these fine feathered friends, that they don't plant, they don't harvest, and yet God cares for them. And then Jesus asks his pivotal questions. He says, as you look at the birds of the air, are they not more valuable? Or are you not more valuable than these? Yes, indeed. He doesn't say that the birds are more valuable than us. He says that we are more valuable than they. And this word value pops in this sentence, and as it should, because to value something is to prize it. And to prize something is to raise it up as highly important for us. The New Testament Greek Bible word for value can literally be translated as excellent. With Jesus saying this, are you not more excellent than the birds of the air? I'm reminded of the words of 2 Corinthians 6, where St. Paul says that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And from Psalm 8, where the psalmist says, "What are human beings that the Lord is mindful of us? Mortals that God cares for us. Yet the Lord has made us just a little lower than God and crowned us with glory and honor." You know, God talks about human beings as such, but I hear no such declarations about the birds of the air or any other creatures that may walk this planet of ours. It's all because humanity is God's masterpiece. We are the creme de la creme. We are the best of the best when it comes to God's creation, as he points out for us today. Are we not more valuable, more excellent than the birds of the air? You know, when I read this passage, I know for sure, I believe I know for certain that God is not talking about the value of a pink flamingo. And you know, a pink flamingo these days can go for $1,000. He's not either talking about a toucan. Toucans can go for as much as $8,000. He's not referring to it as a Goliath cockatoo. Those can run 16 big ones. He's not even talking about a racing pigeon, which is the most expensive bird on the planet. They can go for as little as $90,000 and as much as up to $1,000,000. I sense that Jesus is not talking about any of these exclusive birds. Rather, I hear him referring to the winged creatures in the same way that he talks about birds in Matthew chapter 10 when he says this: "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of these will fall to the ground unnoticed by our Father." You see, the point is this. The point is if God values, and he does, if God values even one of these tiny, drab-looking, boring, common, seemingly insignificant sparrows, how much more does he value us, we who are his children? You know, the problem is sin. You see, we humans don't always value what God values, especially when life is challenging for us. Or sometimes we get sideways with another individual. Many times we tend to devalue ourselves and devalue others. Someone wrongs us and we shift them from our significant other list to possibly a less significant or non-significant list. Someone differs with us politically on Facebook and we move them from being a friend and with the tap of a screen to unfriending them. You see, sometimes we even cross the line and we do something that we might regret and we feel badly about it. We feel bad about ourselves and we tend to then downgrade our own selves without the help of anybody else. There's a story told about a young man by the name of William. William was born with some mental challenges. It led him to experience more than his share of emotional and social abuse. It began as early as preschool. He was considered what might be called a VUP, a very unimportant person. Somehow he survived junior high, but high school was a different story. You can just imagine gym class. Absolutely some of the worst experiences in his life up till now. Your imagination can't replay what went on in the locker room. The shower scenes, the humiliation, the bullying that William endured during those 4 years. Post-graduation lessened the frequency and the intensity of all this downgrading of him. And yet what had developed was this internal shame that had eroded his self-confidence and his esteem. How William saw himself was so ugly of a duckling that he knew he would never become anything close to that beautiful swan. And the pain of who he was made to believe that he was so real to him that William's experience of life without friends life without a female companionship, and life without what felt like no purpose was not worth living. A decade of living in this dark hole, this emotional torment, led him to consider in a serious way not wanting to exist. And what one day that all changed. He was in Walmart, and as he was in one of those aisles, he bumped into a former classmate. It was Tim. Tim immediately recognized William, and he called him by name. In shock that anyone would even remember him, much less acknowledge him in public, William appreciated Tim's kindness. Tim seemed to recognize that Will, how he appeared these days, 10 years later, was look 10 times worse than what he did in high school. And what Tim later came to believe was a movement of the Holy Spirit in his heart in that very moment, in that aisle in Walmart. The power of the Holy Spirit led him to trade contact information with William. Tim began texting William almost every day. That they got together periodically for lunch and coffee. Tim noticed that after a little bit of time, investing in William changed not only William's appearance, but also his own personal outlook on life. But the real change came at Christmas when Tim's gift to William was a t-shirt that read this, "God don't make no junk." A shirt that William wore until it was nearly rags. Several years later, Tim died in a car accident. William, believe it or not, was asked to speak at the funeral. Over half of the graduating high school class was present. Tim had been quite popular. William shared how Tim had really basically saved his life. And if not from self-destruction, then from living a life of worthlessness. And it was all because Tim had reminded William of how wonderfully made he was and how significantly valued he was by God despite any type of brokenness. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I love God's word to us today. It's a word, it's a passage that reminds us that our true value comes not from the world, not from others, and not even from our own broken selves, but from God, our Heavenly Father. And that we are not ultimately defined by the world's negativity, but the biblical truth is what defines us, that we are created in God's image, that we are redeemed by Christ's blood, and that we are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, that God doesn't make junk. My 2.5-year-old grandson, Graham. I don't know, have I ever told you about Graham? Graham loves to color. And I observe what he does. You see, some of the crayons that he uses are already very worn and some are broken. But get this, they still perfectly color. All of us in some form or fashion are broken colors. And it's due to something that maybe we have done or something that life has done to us or others have done to us. And yet God's word to us reminds us that we need not worry because none of these diminish our value with our Father God. You know, a failed relationship does not mean that you are a failure. But being in an accident of some sort doesn't mean that you're an accident. Just because you may be depressed doesn't mean that you are depressing. And just because you've been maybe physically or emotionally beaten doesn't mean you are defeated. You know, just because we mess up, we sin, we slip up, and the world comes beaten down on us sometimes. Sometimes it feels like we've crashed and burned. It does not mean that we are not redeemable. No matter what the brokenness may be, our excellence, our worth is not broken with God. And the proof is in the pudding, and the pudding is in the Bible. All of the many, many stories about how Jesus valued and cared for all those people who had plenty to worry about. You know, I think we read the story of the woman at the well, and I would say that that woman would say that Jesus valued her. We hear about a story of a man who's vertically challenged. His name is Zacchaeus, and he had financially cheated many by overtaxing them. Jesus took him in. I would say that Zacchaeus believed that Jesus valued him. We think about Mary Magdalene, who was possessed by 7 demons. She too would say that Jesus valued her. But Paul who persecuted, and Peter who denied, and the thief on the cross, prostitutes and lepers, one lost sheep, one lost coin, one prodigal son, all of these and more who had been labeled as less significant. And less significant they had been labeled in the eyes of the church, many of them, unfortunately. All of these were treasured by Christ as being uber significant. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord and Savior was, and He continues to value each and every one of us by lifting up souls that feel downtrodden and left out. Those who feel like they maybe have been given up on by family or friends or even church. You see, Jesus was continuously about raising the bar of worth in others. So much so that He jumped into this life to save us. If you keep up with the daily news, you know that the Texas borders, maybe some of that has lessened a bit in these last weeks, but things south of us are still quite challenging, particularly for the DPS, for Border Patrol. They try to maintain security. They try to maintain security and borders and boundaries for those who want to come to America, but by non-legal means. Commonly, that happens by swimming the river. That's been one of those long-term ways of how people cross. And such was the case this last April. There were two who were spotted swimming north from Mexico into Texas. They were going through the Rio Grande. And there was this National Guardsman. His name right here, Bishop Evans is his name. Bishop is his first name, Evans last name. He happened to be on duty that day. He observed that there were two men that appeared to be drowning. He shed his radio, took off his armor, and he leaped into the current to rescue them. Evans drowned in his attempt to save these men. The two illegals made it to Texas soil safely. They were immediately arrested, but Evans gave his life in rendering aid. And what you might say was above and beyond the call of duty, right? Especially for those who were illegal. But persons who were totally in the wrong. So some may even say and make the case of what a waste. They didn't even deserve his help at the cost of his life. An innocent man perished to save two guilty parties. And yet Evans obviously felt compelled. Maybe compassionate. He felt called to see godly value and excellent worth, even in those who are fully guilty. And maybe even in the minds of some, not even worth saving. Is not this the connection with our faith story? For if a mere mortal like Bishop Evans saw value in rescuing trespassers, how much more was our Heavenly Father passionate about valuing us, the works of His hands that He crafted from the dust of the earth, and bringing salvation to those of us who daily trespass against Him? Sisters and brothers in Christ, may we never dismiss or discount or even worry a little bit about the way God cares for us and values us. Way, way above and beyond the birds of the air. Amen. Amen. Let's sing the song.